Welcome back, everybody. You got to score points to win ball games. Tight ends can help you. Who are the top five tight ends after the draft for this rookie class today on Locked On NFL Draft?
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I am your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Tracy. He's at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. I am at Eric _ Crocker. We also want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day and let you know that today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Ryan, man, we've been banging out these top five lists. We've done the quarterbacks. Go back and listen to that episode. We've done the running backs. We've done the receivers. And it's only right now we do the tight ends. And originally, this was one where I'm like, it's not too exciting, not too sexy. But as you start to kind of dive into this tight end class and look at the landing spots, it starts to get a little bit more exciting, seeing where they go, what quarterback they have throwing to them, who do they have listed ahead of them, will it last? Those are things that we're going to touch on right now. But first, we got to start with your number one guy, and I guess it's my number one guy. Real quick, y'all, we don't discuss our top fives with each other. We kind of, we have our list, and then when we go live, that's the first time I find out who his one through five are. So, who is your number one tight end in this class?
Before I tell you that, I just want to say this has nothing to do with pre-draft ranking or what their skill level is. This is about where they landed and what kind of usage they're going to get. I just want to reiterate that because almost everybody landed with somebody ahead of them to mentor them or similar to them or is a carbon copy, Trey McBride, that is going to be kind of problematic. So for me, it comes down to a quarterback that wants and needs to use his tight end. And probably hasn't enough over the years, but coming off of the year that Russ Wilson had last year and having Albert O as your starter, I think the number one guy that gets usage, gets targets, and is going to make a difference is Greg Dulcich from the Denver Broncos. It just hits me that they have to use him. They're going to be so concerned about Courtland Sutton, about all the pass catchers there, about trying to stop the run game. The one guy that has the opportunity, I think, to sneak out, make himself a name, and get targeted by Russ is Dulcich, because I don't think Albert O, while he's explosive, I don't think he's the pass catcher that they thought he was coming out. So for me, I think he has the better opportunity of the two of those guys. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I will say that that's not my tight end one, but it wasn't until my second or third time through kind of going around, moving things around to where he kind of got bumped down a little bit. But I'll start with him, who is my tight end two in this class, you know, as far as landing spots and where they went. And a big part of it has to definitely do with who's there at quarterback. One thing about Russell Wilson when he's there, and we've saw some tight ends have some level of success there. Luke Wilson, he was solid over there in Seattle with Russell Wilson throwing the ball to him. But Greg Dulcich, I mean, this is a legit pass-catching tight end and a guy that has tremendous run-after-catch ability as well. He's a pure pass catcher. You talked about Albert O, and he's a guy who, even when he did play, it wasn't great. He did miss a few games last season, and I think people assume that there's some kind of, you know, upside there. But they lost a tight end in the trade that went over to the Seattle Seahawks, and you would assume that Greg Dulcich, although he's not listed as a tight end one right now, and we also want to make this very clear. I don't know everything that's going on in these teams' training camps, right? I tried to listen in, you know, I tried to hear different things and whatnot, but I don't know where he's at right now getting reps, and I'd say, you know, it 100% like does not matter as much until training camp, and once you start hearing the things flying out of training camp, where guys are going, what group they're going with, that holds a lot more weight than what guys did during OTAs, especially with some of the veterans getting time off and all that type of stuff. But Greg Dulcich, if you were to tell me by, you know, preseason week one or opening week, he's the tight end one over in Denver, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Now, right. We are talking about guys' rookie years and how well they will do as rookies. So I don't necessarily have questions with well Greg Dulcich would do. I think he's a terrific pass catcher, but the usage, right? So now this is more of a fantasy type thing right now. You know, when it comes to target shares and you look at the receivers that they have on their roster, Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, all right, how much will they take away from it? And not just that, we have to factor in the run game as well. And I'm assuming, I know they have Russell Wilson, but they're still going to want to lean on the run game. Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, those guys are going to get touches. Then even you look at some of the guys behind the starting three receivers, with KJ Hamler. All right, so those are all things that I think overall can make it to where he doesn't necessarily have the best rookie year, but just in the sense of being in a terrific situation with a quarterback that likely is going to know exactly how to utilize you, get you the ball. And I really like how Russell Wilson works with all of his guys so that they're on the same page as him, so that they know exactly what it is that he wants, where he wants you to be. And the sooner you get on the same page with Russell Wilson, the more targets you're going to see. So Greg Dulcich, my tight end two in this class, but definitely think that there is an opportunity for him to get tight end one type production.
I like that. And I'm interested to see who your tight end two is though, but let's hold that for a second. And folks, if you want to make a bet on this, is he right or am I right? We're going to tell you who Croc's number one is in just a second. You need to go to Bet Online, the number one spot for all your sports info and all the bet stuff that you need to do, whether it's stuff that's still going on like baseball. I don't care about baseball, but if you do, good for you. You can bet on it. You can get into college sports. You can set it all up. Get it all done at Bet Online. They have everything for you, from podcasts, scores, info, everything you need to get your money in the play in a smart way so that you can come out with more money at the end. Head over there and check them out. It's Bet Online, where the game starts. Now, I kind of jumped you there because I want to give a lot more time to your number one than what we were going to have at the end of that first segment. So lay it on me. Who's going to have the best season this rookie class?
Trey McBride.
Yeah.
You look at Trey McBride, and again, I think also, you know, you got to look at who they have on that roster. And you're looking at a team that has DeAndre Hopkins, but he is suspended. Mm-hmm. Now, they did trade for Marquise Brown. How much will they utilize him right away? Even then, he's not going to take away targets from Trey McBride. All right. Now, who can take away some targets or reps or him just being on the field? Definitely Zach Ertz. But I think that they're going to want to put him in right now. They traded for Zach Ertz middle of last season, and he came in and he did some things, but he's still kind of on the down end of his career. He's not continuing, you know, with that upward trajectory. So if you have a young guy who either you can bring along slower because you have Zach Ertz, or if you're just like, no, you're going to play right now. We're going to put you in there. And Zach Ertz, you can kind of play off of him and be tight end two, and you are a reliable tight end two. But that's going to make it to where Trey McBride is in there. And this is a guy who, although he has terrific pass catching skills, I mean, you look at his numbers from last season in college football. Okay, I get it. It's Colorado State. 90 receptions, 1,121 yards. Now, the one wild thing here, he has not been a touchdown machine. Maybe right. It's because, you know, that is a team that tends to run the ball a lot. 10 total touchdowns in 4 years where he played a lot of football. And his most touchdowns that he had, well, two seasons, he had four each. But 2020, he only played four games and had four touchdowns. So if he can get back to that in the sense of the touchdowns and then get back to what he did in 2021 as far as just the overall production of reception and yards, we're talking about somebody that can be not just good for next year, but long term. I know we're going to get into that on the next episode, but I like who he has throwing the ball to him with Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is going to be really good for him. He's a guy who's going to definitely help a guy like this who has good run after catch ability that hasn't even truly been spotlighted the way that I think it can. This is a guy that ran in the low 4.5s, big, strong target that can move fluidly. And he wasn't the number one tight end for no reason in his last class. So yeah, a team that drafts him that high, I think they truly expect to play him right away and make him a big part of offense. And they're going to need it, especially with DeAndre Hopkins on pace right now. It sounds like he's going to miss the first six games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a trend bucker is what I think. And I'm glad that you brought him up because he's my number three. So as we move on here to the number threes in a second, it is because when you look back, I think it was 8%, if I remember correctly. I went and looked it up over the weekend. 8% that the Arizona offense used double tights. That has to change dramatically in order for him to get plugged in, because as much as I think they need to give him the ball, I don't think they're going to sit Ertz. Now, Ertz could stub his toe week two and be gone for the year. You never know with him. So, like, there is opportunity there. But that's why I ranked him just a little bit lower than this guy, because my number two should be the focus at this point, in my opinion. They have some questions at the wide receiver spot. And if you think about Tony Gonzalez and then last year in all superstar Kyle Pitts, nobody wants to throw the tight end more than Matt Ryan. And Jelani Woods is the guy that's going to get those targets in Indianapolis. Now, I know Mo Alie-Cox is there and Mo has come up with some nice plays, but he is not the pass catcher, not the athletic threat that Jelani Woods is. So I think it may take a little bit. Maybe the first quarter of the season is a little bit iffy, but I think in the end, Matt Ryan's going to hit that kind of rhythm. He's going to want to get the ball out. And I think Woods is going to have the athletic matchups that he can win. I think he's going to be the number two tight end this season.
So Woods did not make my top five. He is somebody I like. It's just there might be tight ends I like a little bit more. Maybe I should take into more the, you know, consideration of the who he has thrown to him, you know, that offense and how he could be utilized. But when I watch him, I'm just like, see the ability. I know he's a huge target. We're talking about somebody that's like 6'7". But, gosh, just the way he moves, the way he kind of runs to spots, there has to be a very specific usage with him as opposed to some of these other guys like Trey McBride, who I think can be a terrific route runner and win in space, win no matter if he has a safety on him or even a nickel type guy. You look at, you know, even Greg Dulcich, that type of guy in space, run after catch, all the things that he does well. With Woods, again, I like him. And I think the thing that like the reason I like him more is because of who he has at quarterback. Mm-hmm. But not sure. He can't make my top five. But I like it. I like that you have him in there.
All right. You got to give him a chance, right? So then who is?
So in my number three guy is Chig Okonkwo. All right. Okonkwo, you know, you watch him at Maryland. He has a big time ability. He's probably the most athletic tight end in this class. Mm-hmm. All right. And when you just watch him, there are some games where he has a high amount of receptions, but not so high like yardage. So he's a guy that can win underneath and win in that kind of closed area. All right. We're talking about win right now, slants, in route, digs. He can do all those things, as well as have the ability to really open up down the field in that type of vertically pushing offense. Now, going to Tennessee, the one thing I like about anybody that's at Tennessee as a pass catcher or even a quarterback is you have this big guy by the name of Derrick Henry that's going to take some of the pressure off of you. All right, so if he can kind of come in and start to kind of unseat Austin Hooper for that tight end one spot, which I think is very possible. Right, I don't think anybody's looking at Austin Hooper and saying, oh, yeah, they signed Austin Hooper, and he's just 100% going to be the guy. And maybe if he does, they do have a power offense. Maybe they go to more two tight end sets, and you can look at PFF and see how often they go to those type of sets. But if they do, he's going to be a big part of that. And you look at the other weapons on this team, and this is why I think they're going to utilize him a lot in the passing game. Robert Woods, he's coming off of an injury. Treylon Burks, he's a first-round pick, but he's – supposed to replace AJ Brown right now, and I'm not saying that he can't, but I do know that there could potentially be a kind of that transition period with that. So outside of that, I mean, Nick Westbrook,
who
Kyle Phillips, that might be the sleeper in this offense, but yeah, not a whole lot that's going to keep a guy like Chig off of the field to where he just can't produce.
See, I like the way you're thinking. I actually had him as my number five because of a lot of that, but I just felt like in terms of the offense, they were going to have to push the ball to Treylon more. And I felt because you have the first round investment in him that you were going to kind of force feed him a little bit. Maybe Chig was going to be a little bit lost until maybe the second half, until defenses adapt and try to slow down Treylon. Then he can come on. So I had him on the list too, just a little bit further down. So, hey, it is what it is. So we have three of Eric Crocker's top five. You have four of mine already, I guess, right? Because now we just named two. So when we get back, we're going to finish them off. We're the 4 and 5 guys, and we'll reiterate. Who's going to do well this season at tight end?
We have kind of, you know, jumped around a little bit. I know who your number five guy is, but who do you have at number four?
Number four is the guy that is kind of a stretch for me, because this is another situation. Like Trey McBride having an established starter ahead of him. Mark Andrews is a target for Lamar Johnson. He's going to be a target. But the problem is the defense knows that too. And everybody laughed at me when I told you pre-draft Charlie Kohler is going to be a top five tight end. Well, Charlie Kohler is going to be a top five tight end. He's going to be number four because he's got the size. He's got the pass catching ability. He had two drops in college, two. And when you can't throw the ball because he's going to get doubled, and you're a little bit questioned about everybody else in that offense, I feel like they want to run double tight. They want to have two tight ends out there all the time to help support the run game. I feel like there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Charlie Kohler to be the other tight end, quote unquote. And I think that gets him the touches. I think it gets him the targets. And I like what he does with the ball after the catch as well. You know, as long as he can get enough separation from the safeties, if they don't try to run him on too deep a route so that he can actually turn and move with the ball after the catch, I think he's going to make some yak yards that might surprise people. So I'm really probably the only one that's as positive about Charlie Kohler, but Charlie Kohler is my number four.
Well, it's interesting you have him as your number four. I don't have him at all, but at my number five, and then I'll go back to my number four. But at my number five, I have a guy that was drafted in the same class as him, Isaiah Likely, going to the Baltimore Ravens. All right, and when you look at Likely, I really think the only reason he lasted as long as he did is because he ran poor. Mm-hmm. But we've seen him on film, and if you didn't know that he ran as slow as he did in the 40-yard dash, you would think that this is a guy that, one, runs extremely well, has big-time run-after-catch ability, and a guy that is extremely explosive as a pass catcher. So when you kind of pair that with Andrews and what they have in, you know, leaning on the run game with a lot of things, but all the misdirection and what's going to get him out in space and catch the ball and give him run-after-catch opportunities, I think that's something that's going to be tremendous for this young tight end. So I have Isaiah Likely at number five. I do want to let you know who my number four is real quick, but Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin going to Dallas Cowboys. And we're talking about somebody who definitely was, you know, somewhat productive in 4 years, didn't have like that huge explosive season, but very explosive. We know that, or very reliable. We know what they do there at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They lean on the run game. But I thought when I watched him, there was a lot more to him in that passing game. Now, the issue is he's going to the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys have Dalton Schultz. And Dalton Schultz was a guy who had over 800 receiving yards last season. And their tight end two usage was very minimal. This is a team that leaned heavily on three receiver sets and that one tight end. All right. Now, can they carve out more of a role for Ferguson? I think, you know, a team that wants to be really dominant in the run game, Ferguson, I think that's where he can find his niche, to be on the field and then build off of that as a pass catcher. I have him as my number four guy just because I see more ability than what his usage was, and I'm just not sure if he's going to get that with the Dallas Cowboys, but I know he has the ability and upside to do so. And we'll see what they want to do with Dalton Schultz as well.
Yeah, I love that you put him in there. He's my favorite tight end in this class for all the things that you mentioned. It was when you franchise a tight end in Dalton Schultz, like I have trouble seeing that you're going to carve out time for Jake Ferguson. That was the only reason I left him off, because that is the thing, because he will make you pay. He's sneaky. He makes big plays at big time. So if you're getting everybody going the other direction and watching the three pass catchers and watching Schultz and keying on the running back, he's going to have an opportunity. I think he'll make them pay, but I just left him off because I didn't know how much that opportunity was going to be. So we've gone through our top five.
Real quick, Ryan, do you think that there's a chance the Cowboys franchise tagged him because they just felt like, you know what, we don't have that guy? I know they have Blake Jarwin. Obviously, they don't have him anymore, but maybe they feel like, you know what, we don't have that guy that we feel like can take his place. So let's draft a guy that we really like, mold him into that. And eventually, I know, you know, okay, they franchise tagged Schultz, and they definitely will use him. Definitely. Yeah. This is a guy that's very productive. He is really good. But maybe there could be some sort of a passing of the torch. Not Schultz passing the torch, he's probably going to be like, dude, no, you're not taking away from my targets. I want to be on the field. But just the team kind of, you know, just doing the whole business decision type thing where they start to kind of incorporate him a little bit more as the season goes on.
Maybe. You could be right. I mean, if I was in the room, I would advise against that. You don't franchise tag a guy because you don't have an answer. I mean, he's to earn that franchise tag, in my book, you have to be worth that tag, not just you don't have another option. I would have rather given a small extension with money up front so that you could walk away in a second year myself. But I see where you're coming from. And honestly, who knows what goes on through the minds of the front office of the Dallas Cowboys. Right. I do not claim to understand that. So who knows? Maybe that is why. I do want to throw out one more guy because this is the guy that I went back and forth with putting on the list that didn't make it for me. And it's, again, because of the transition, not the opportunity. Because with Rob Gronkowski's quote-unquote retirement, I think Cade Otton in the Bucs is going to have opportunity, but he's got to make that changeover. He was not the big pass-catching threat in college. He was hurt the whole offseason run-up to the draft, but I think he's got the potential. We may see him down the line. He may be the number one in 2023, but he didn't make the list in 2022.
Well, also, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to make the list if there's no Tom Brady. Who's going to be throwing him the ball? We know they have Tom Brady for another season. This was a guy who was right there on the cusp of making my list. I had him around 6 or 7. There were a couple other guys that you can kind of argue should be in that type of range, but definitely like his ability. He's another guy when watching Washington, I'm like, this guy's a little underutilized as a pass catching tight end. And if anybody can get that out of him, it is Tom Brady. And you lose Gronkowski, there's going to be some kind of opportunity. I know they got Cameron Brate there, and he's been somebody, I feel like he's been there for 20 years now. But, you know, are they going to be looking for someone to kind of really take over that role? Or do they say, you know what, we just want to go with a guy that's going to know how to play off of Tom Brady and understand that and that's safe and just make this final push, and then we'll figure it out after that. But if they do start to try to push and get this young guy in there, I definitely believe he's someone who can eventually grow into a good role. Anytime, and a lot of these guys, it feels like they all have like these veteran quarterbacks. But when you have that veteran quarterback, it makes the world a difference. It makes the world a difference.
Well, and we'll see how long everybody has those quarterbacks. We're going to talk about head-to-head, who's going to have the best career tomorrow for this group. I'm looking forward to that, Croc. I think I know where you're going, but you guys are going to have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah. So we want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Again, for your second listen of the day, you got Locked On Chiefs with Ryan Tracy. You got Locked On 49ers with myself and my co-host Brian Peacock. And you got plenty of shows around the Locked On Network. So make sure you guys tune into that and tune into us tomorrow when we come back and tell you which one of these tight ends is going to have the best career. But until then, we'll see y'all. We are out. Peace.